Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. Now, here's the thing. You wake up and you go to work. You go to your sites. You start fixing your properties. You start flipping property. Maybe you wake up and you are a new construction person and you go on site and you're building a community. Maybe you're a landlord and you own a couple hundred doors, or you own maybe two doors or three doors. Bottom line, there are two things that fuel your world. One, deal flow. Two, money. You need both to win. And if you don't have both, guess what doesn't happen? You winning. So this show is for you, the pro. This show is for you, the new real estate investor that wants to know what opportunities exist in the marketplace today for you. So that's number one. Number two, the type of financing you can get that will help you scale your business. Right, we talk about scale. Everybody right now, I feel all the gurus are talking about scaling, 10xing your business. How do you do that? You need the right capital. You need the right team. You need the right team that has your best interests in mind. And not all lenders around the country do. Many of them don't care. They just want the interest. My experience with Civic has been phenomenal. Specifically because the team there actually cares about you and your project. So guess who we have today? We've got Bill. He's the CEO of Civic Financial. And I cannot wait to have this conversation. We're talking about three things. I got my notes right here. Thing number one, current trends in real estate investing. Thing number two, challenges individual investors face today. Because there are a lot of them. And number three, what's Civic doing to change the game? And I love this conversation. I'm stoked about it. So let's get started. Before I do that, I want to give you a huge shout out to today's sponsor. We cannot do the show without our sponsors. So thank you so much to Rentify. Rentify is a verification platform that allows property management companies and real estate investors to instantly verify a prospective renter's financial information. Their bank check report provides a summary of payroll income, rent, bill payment history, and highlight red flags, such as payment issues, payday loan activity, frequent overdraft, past bankruptcies, and more. To learn more, check out www.trustrentify.com. Use the coupon code ThinkRealty for 20% off your first purchase. Okay, without further ado, Bill, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you, Abhi.
Awesome. So right off the bat, we live in a world now where as a flipper, as a landlord, as a community builder, as a new construction guy or gal out there, inventory is tough. There's a lot of dry powder that is chasing these deals. What are some opportunities that I can get into right now, whether it's in a major MSA, whether it's in a secondary, tertiary market? What are you seeing out there? I mean, Civic, you guys do billions and billions of loans every single year. You've been doing that for the last many years. You are absolutely no stranger to trends and to what's happening in the market. What are you seeing out there?
So, you know, the trends are consistent across the states that we lend in. And I think we lend now in 30 different states. What we're seeing a lot of is kind of, if you think of the bookends from California to New York, we're seeing a lot of people that live in those states move inward. So you got boomtown, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas is hot. Arizona is very hot. Vegas is hot. And then contrary to that, believe it or not, you got some of those people in some of the mid states coming to California. So just as we've all been hearing about everyone jumping on the wagon and getting out of the West Coast because of all of the craziness that's going on and high taxes and so on and so forth, people are also coming in to this state. I think at the end of the day, when you made the introduction, you hit it right on the head. Capital is king. And if you don't have your own, you need to align with those that have it. And I think if you can do that, you set yourself up in a position to take advantage of some of the opportunities in the marketplace. And as you know, Abhi, I mean, there's not a lot of inventory out there. So you have to have a real reason for a seller to consider your offer over the other 12.
Yeah, that sucks. Like, and in Oregon, they stopped doing the videos. You can't do videos. You can't attach a picture anymore with your offer, because that was, I think, NAR believed that that would lead to a potential discrimination for buyers, et cetera, or for sellers to choose specific buyers. You know what sucks? Is that was a strategy that I love using. So I'm going to use that as long as I can until I can't anymore.
Yeah, and many other states do that. And, you know, you think about Portland, and there's, you know, lots of crazy stuff going out there. And you hear about the people in the droves leaving Portland. There are also people buying there. So my son and his wife, family lived out there.
Yeah.
They listed their property. Their property was listed for 1 hour. And they had 9 offers, and one of the 9 offers was 10% above list price, and they sold it. They never had an open house. I mean, the stuff is going quick, and as you and I have both mentioned already, capital is going to be king. So whether or not you have the cash to go in as a cash buyer, you have a capital partner to go in as a cash buyer, removing those contingencies, it's the difference between getting a yes or a no on your offer, and it is that competitive right now.
Yep. And so aligning yourself with partners, aligning yourself with capital that's smart, that has your back, is supremely important. When we talk about trends, I would love to hear your perspective on the Midwest. There's a lot of conversation around, hey, you know what? Like, everybody's moving inward. You live in New York, you don't want to pay $1 million for a square inch in, you know, on Fifth Avenue somewhere, right? Like, you can take $1 million in equity, deploy it, and buy, I don't know, a dozen or so homes in Ohio or Michigan or wherever. Do you have any specific, like, favorite cities based on all of the data you've collected, based on all the loans that you've done in the Midwest? Do you have any specific hotspots that you would say, hey, investors, for those of you that are watching, listening, whatever, if you go to Indy, you go to XYZ Midwest city, state, that you'll win?
Yeah, so look, a couple things have happened through COVID. So the first thing that's happened that's been entirely different in the 35 years I've been in lending is many, many, many companies proved that their employees can work from home efficiently and effectively. And the idea of having to commute 45 minutes or 60 minutes to get to your dream job and to work there only to commute 45 or 60 minutes back, people are thinking about it differently. Really, here at Civic, we've come up with this whole Civic Anywhere, which allows people to work from home full-time in a hybrid situation or at one of our offices. And so why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because we have key executives that have been in California their whole life that have picked their families up and moved to some of the states I'm talking to you about, which, you know, the Carolinas, the South and North, Tennessee, mm-hmm. Arizona, Texas, big Texas.
Dude, Texas is on fire right now. Like, Austin, can you imagine? Austin, like, I love Velvet Taco. Every time I go to Austin, I'm just eating tacos. I'm stuffing my face with tacos. But then, like, the opportunities are just insane. Like, I wish I bought in Austin a year and a half ago, man.
Well, the opportunities aren't done. Like, okay. I just came back. I spent 4 days in Dallas and in the Frisco area there. The opportunities aren't done. So you might have been able to buy a 4,000 square foot home on a quarter acre with a gun safe in your master bedroom for $450,000, and now it's $600,000.
Right.
But like in Manhattan Beach, you can't buy a one bedroom apartment for $600,000. You know, that's $1.6 million.
Right.
So what's happening is these guys are selling these smaller homes here, cashing out at top dollar. They're going inward, like you mentioned earlier. They're paying all cash if they, you know, want to not take advantage of their leverage, or paying cash and then leveraging it, and you know, have a different tax situation. Their dollar's stretching a little bit further. They have more land. They can work from home if necessary. So they got a little bit more work-life balance, and it's just this huge paradigm shift. And it's not just real estate. I mean, what's driving real estate driving the real estate prices is the lack of inventory. There are reports out there, Abhi, as you know, that say that we're as many as 6 million units underwater to fulfill the need of those that are looking for housing. So if you just kind of do the math and new home builds and stuff, that's like 3 years, and you still got historic low rates. big need for real estate and people going inward, people will drive those numbers up because it's still substantially lower than they're paying on the far east or west coast, substantially. It's a very interesting time. Somebody, I did a podcast earlier in the week, and they said, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but here comes the bubble, right? This is just going to be like the financial crisis. And I said, absolutely not.
No,
the
not.
Financial
yeah.
crisis, we lent to people that we shouldn't have at right. leverages we shouldn't have
right.
without income documentation.
Right.
And the credit quality of today's borrower is better than I've seen in 35 years of lending. There is no crisis number two on the horizon. And I do believe you're still going to see home price appreciation at least for the next 2 to 3 years until they solve the backlog of need for housing. And
right.
it's just
right.
not going to get solved overnight.
No, agreed. I just interviewed a gentleman. We were talking about Black Knight data, and he mentioned pre-pandemic, they're 5.5 million mortgages that pre-pandemic were delinquent. And then during the pandemic, there were another 5 million that became delinquent. And we were debating back and forth about how that would cause this tidal wave it would essentially change the game. And I'm like, it's not. Like, if I'm this person, I would just sell my freaking property. And why not just... Yeah. So
Abhi, people aren't thinking about it. I've read the same articles. Tidal wave, the moratorium has created a tidal wave of foreclosure.
Right.
No, it hasn't. We've had close to 20% home price appreciation in some of these states that we're talking about, massive foreclosures. These people that got themselves in a jam can actually sell their way out of a jam. Whereas before, when you're 20 or 25% underwater, you have no choice. There is no choice. You got to give the keys back. Many, many, many of these people that went into the pandemic right on the line, like, hey, should we, you know, take our lumps and call it a day and give the property back? Or can we make it work? Like right on the line, they're now 15 to 20% of juice in that piece of real estate. They can sell their way out of that. And I think what you're going to see is just that. You're going to see a lot of people be able to work their way out the way real estate originally was designed to do and not be bailed out or forced out through some form of foreclosure. That doesn't cover everyone, but it does cover a much larger percentage than that's being written about the papers.
So it's funny. I text one of my buddies. I'm like, hey, I'm interviewing Bill from Civic. He's like, the Bill? I'm like, yeah, the Bill. You should ask him what he thinks of the next 18 to 24 months in the real estate industry. And I mean, you just answered it, right? Like,
I'm a buyer. Like, just to let you know, me, my personal money, I'm buying right
yes.
now. I'm not selling. There's no chance. And I just don't see, like, no one has been able to present anything to me that says we're on the precipice of a major pullback.
Yeah.
If you ask me that about the stock market, you look and you take a look at the graphs, you see that we've had an unbelievable run in the stock market. So maybe it excels a little bit. But when you think about real estate, there is absolutely no strong economic indicators, none, that are saying that we're going into a time where there's going to be a significant reduction in HPA. I don't believe it. Like,
I don't see it either.
I don't feel it. And I'm looking at too many transactions for my seat that would if you think about the financial crisis, there was a moment, I remember it like it happened yesterday, and I'm looking down at a package, and this was a 100% loan to value, stated income, $1 million deal from a landscaper who stated he made like $25,000 a month and didn't have to verify it. And I was going like,
what is going on? Yeah.
Right, it can't hold much longer.
There's no way.
And so this is nothing like that. I think we have a couple really, really good years ahead of us, Abhi.
Yeah, I completely agree. I remember that. I remember exactly where I was January 1st. This was 2008. And news broke of Credit Suisse's trade. And I remember watching that. And my mentor at the time, he's like, just watch what happens. And it just tumbled from there. A month later, Bear Stearns. Like, all of this. And
countrywide.
Yeah, countrywide.
World Savings, Washington Mutual, the biggest in the world.
Yes. And but I don't see those indicators now. I also don't. I mean, the applications to get mortgages are very stringent, though the interest rates are low. Yeah, I mean, if you've got it, you can you qualify for the mortgage, which makes sense. So that's probably driving up a little bit of the demand. But still, it's not like banks are making dumb decisions like they were in the early 2000s, which led to this house of cards situation from the last crisis. I'm just not seeing it. I'm very bullish on real estate, at least for the next 5 years.
I'm with you. I mean, my money is on the buy side of that, not on the sell side. Now, you know, as with anything, there will come a time where it probably more flattens out or that curve softens. I don't think it crashes. I just can't imagine. And, you know, nowadays, where a lot of these companies are allowing their employees to not just temporarily, but permanently work from home, home sweet home takes on a different meaning. It's a place to educate your children. For some, it's a place to provide for their elderly parents that might need it. And they don't want to put them into a home. Yeah. For some, it's a place that they can work. And so, you know, real estate starts taking on a whole new definition other than just, you know, a place to create family memories. And I think that too is going to control inventory a bit, where people aren't rotating in and out of their houses as often, unless they're either moving up or down, which is creating another transaction.
Yeah.
I actually think it's a really, really good time to own real estate.
I could not agree more. Bill, this is fun. We've got to do this more often. There's so many more things we could talk about. We just don't have the time to do it. I will be in touch for sure. But if there's one gold nugget that you had, you've dropped a bunch of gold nuggets this show so far. If there's one that you had for pro investors, expert investors that have done 5, 6, 7, 10 deals on up, what would it be?
So you're asking me what would my advice to that?
Yeah.
So, sorry that it seems like it's the same, but it's like I say, like, if you lend or need money, don't run out of it, whether you're a lender or you're an acquirer of it. And I think having a strong capital partner or having a strong capital base, whether they're raising it through a JV or syndicate or they're aligned, today's market cash is king. And I know we've heard that, and there's many books that have been written. But we're doing these delayed purchases because even our deals that we can close in 5 days aren't quick enough for some of these people to go in and snag the real estate. So they're striking cashier checks or wires. They're buying that real estate and coming to us for a delayed purchase to, you know, recapture some of that capital. I do think that is very important. But if you wanted me to go away from that, I would say to have very, very, very good contractors. I'm telling you, 70% of the investors that we deal with that have any delays, not 70% of all of them, but the one that have delays are 100% GC related. So get yourself a good group, pay them a little bit more, not a little bit less, give them incentives to get the job done. You know, the whole penny wise, pound foolish thing. I see that happening. And what ends up occurring is these investors get into these 1 year loans. Now they're paying for extensions on those loans and the extension fees they paid. It would have been better to pay the contractors a spiff for getting the job done in time. And, you know, and make sure you pay those contractors on time because they're, you know, they got to feed their families and they're paying attention to the job sites that are actually cash flowing properly. I know that.
Yeah.
And so like on my own stuff, I set incentives up on every stage of the game. They meet them. It's extra, like, because the amount of mind numbing delays and costs associated with contractors that are juggling your job with others, it happens all around. So the really successful people are the ones that have the contractors that they've taken care of and that do what they say what they do, that sort of thing.
And incentivize them. I mean, you did a wonderful job of that at Civic, in growing Civic since you were brought on board. I mean, it is the growth that Civic has seen. And then, of course, all of your success has been very inspiring. So I'm a huge fan, man. We'll definitely
thank
do
you.
This again. I certainly appreciate the insights and stay in touch for sure.
For sure. Thank you.
You got it. Next segment brought to you by Rentify, a verification platform allowing property management companies and real estate investors to instantly verify a prospective renter's financial information. Check them out. Go to www.trustrentify.com and use coupon code ThinkRealty for 20% off your first purchase. And talk about networking. I'm supposed to read this article here about inflation, but I'm going to cover that in detail some other time. What I want to do is talk about networking. All right, we've got the Think Realty Baltimore conference coming up, and it is imperative. Like, if you're new, you're just starting out, like, here a little bit of inspiration, just a little bit of advice. Talk to people that are absolutely crushing it in the real estate space, both on a national level and your local level. Local level, attend RIAs, meetup groups, even like your Facebook groups, if you have an Instagram pod or a LinkedIn pod. Those are opportunities to network and take those conversations offline, maybe meet up for a coffee, grab a phone call, Zoom call, whatever. But the Think Realty Conference in Baltimore that's coming up September 18th and 19th is a very pivotal one. It's probably the highest attendance, highly attended event. It's also near our nation's capital, so you get a lot of thought leaders from that industry, from that area as well. Sherman Ragland's going to be there, a really good friend of mine. And the amount of experience he has as a real estate investor, if you just hang out and talk to him for 5 minutes, it's worth the price that you would pay for entry. So networking is key. If you're starting out, if you don't have a good team, just what Bill was saying from Civic, if you don't have a good team, it's going to cause delays. It's going to cause issues in your overall process, leading to a loss of money, leading to bad timing, leading to a ruined relationship with lenders. So make sure that you find the right lender, you find the right team to do your bidding, to do your work, and then keep looking for the next deals. Keep looking for the next deals. Networking gives you the ability to find these people early on in the process so you can integrate them and use them throughout, you can use them throughout your journey as a real estate investor. And of course, pay them well too. So networking, getting out to these events, make the time commitment, make the financial commitment, and you'll ultimately win. That's it. That's all I got for you. So Think Realty Nation, it's been fun. Rentify is the sponsor of today's podcast. If you want to check them out, listen, if you're a landlord, you're a property manager, and you want deep analysis on who your renter is going to be, Rentify helps you with that. It really, really helps you with that by providing a lot of information that you normally wouldn't get in a credit check at your fingertips about somebody. And I think that's really cool. I had an opportunity to connect with the founder of Rentify very recently, and I'm sold on it. So go to www.trustrentify.com. Use coupon code ThinkRealty for 20% off your first purchase. If you have any questions for us at Think Realty, get in touch. You know how to do it. Go to the website, thinkrealty.com/Baltimore, to register for the Baltimore event conference, September 18th, September 19th. Use code PODCAST, and you register for 2 tickets for the price of 1. You're all set. Until next time, happy investing.